Coming up on Path to Zero.
If I could just wave a magic wand to put a single policy in place, I would put a price on carbon. Almost every economist in the world, including the two who won the Nobel Prize 2 years ago, supports and endorses it.
Welcome to Path to Zero, the podcast about clean energy and the journey toward a low-carbon future. Your host is Tucker Perkins, engineer, entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, and clean energy industry veteran, who now serves as president and CEO of the Propane Education and Research Council. Now, here's Tucker.
Hey, Path to Zero listeners. This is a special episode of the show, one where I'm looking back in time because this month, as you all know, is the month we celebrate Earth Day. I have to say that this Earth Day feels like it's full of both trouble and transformative opportunities. We see things like, for example, the devastating trouble caused by Russia and the Ukraine. And then there was the trouble brought up by the latest International Panel on Climate Change, the special UN commission that's been studying climate change for the past 35 years. The UN Secretary General said this about the most recent report.
The jury has reached the verdict, and it is damning. This report of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change is a litany of broken climate promises. It is a file of shame, cataloging the empty pledges that put us firmly on track towards an unlivable world. We are on a fast track to climate disaster.
Pretty disheartening, but I'm reminded of a recent article in the New York Times by Kara Buckley entitled, Okay, Doomers and the Climate Advocates Who Say It's Not Too Late. Yes, it's a riff on the Gen Z rebuttal to all things that baby boomers say, but it's got value to it. What will surprise you about this article is how young people are rejecting this notion of doomism. They're pushing past the dread and the feeling of nothing matters, so why even try? The young people featured in Buckley's article are affecting change by refusing to believe the worst of the climate change narrative. Reading their take gives you a lot of hope and optimism in the future. It also inspired me to go back into the Path to Zero archives to find more good examples of why we can and should focus on solutions versus shame. One of the people in the OK Doomers article said this, "It takes a whole group, but it takes one person to start, one person to inspire, one person to raise a voice." That's right, and here's to that sentiment. It occurred to me when I read that line that we have heard way more of what Buckley's article referred to as hopium-based ideas than doomer ideas. I wanted to go back and get my own dose of hopium and share it with you. So, let's rewind the tapes and hear from those who raised a voice on Path to Zero this past year. I'm going to do this by focusing on a question I ask every Path to Zero guest, the one I call the magic wand question, and it sounds like this. All right, I'm going to hand you a magic wand, and it's a good one. You can wave it and wish for one climate change-related thing to change in the next year. How would you use your magic wand? What would you wish for? That's the interesting question, and I want you to enjoy listening to a few really wonderful responses. The first came from Dr. Scott Tinker. Scott's a geologist. He's the state geologist of Texas, if you didn't know. He teaches at the University of Texas at Austin, and he runs the 250-person Bureau of Economic Geology Department there. He's also an energy expert, and through his nonprofit, Switch Energy Alliance, he's a documentary filmmaker.
I would wave the magic wand and have everybody on Earth have a reasonable understanding of energy. And if they did, they would be able to vote in a way that elected leaders who would be probably happy to enable and enact policies and regulatory systems that would be reasonable to real energy. So I would wave the education wand and have us all come up to a certain level, the level where we think we are, but we're not. And in doing that, I think it would address so many issues.
You might expect an educator like Scott Tinker to want people to be educated, but his point is important. Too often, the politics of climate change get synthesized down to sound bites. When that happens, we lose traction because the complexity of climate change requires us to lean in and really think about the solutions. Nick Weinberg-Lynn made the point pretty well. Nick is heading up a massive project in California for Phillips 66, where they're creating one of the world's largest renewable fuels plants.
I'd take my magic wand and I'd make it clear to governments, to citizens out there, that there is no magic wand. There is no magic bullet to this. And folks have set ambitious goals out there. And sometimes those deter real progress. And it won't be something overnight, right? You look at our project and you look at reducing carbon intensity of transportation fuels by 65%, and you could do it tomorrow. We're taking 1.4 million cars off the road from an emissions equivalent standpoint. And that sounds great. But if you, in the mindset that you have, you think there is a magic wand where you can go to full electrification tomorrow, that project doesn't sound the same. And so I think folks need to realize, and the people setting the legislation and the rules and getting in front of it and writing and talking about the climate issue, that there is no magic wand to get there. And we need to make incremental progress along the way. And sometimes looking at those progress in the path, if you look at it in totality, that's when things can be done and can be exciting.
I agree with Nick that there's not one solution, one silver bullet that'll make everything better. Instead, I'm a card-carrying member of what you might call the Silver Buckshot Gang. We have a number of different solutions we can bring to bear on the problem of climate change. Let's listen to a few of them. This is Meredith Angwin, a chemist, an author, and an expert on the electric grid.
There are several power plants, including Byron and Dresden in Illinois, several nuclear power plants. And I would wave my magic wand and I would make sure that all nuclear power plants that are operating safely now can continue to operate for the next year and then to be extended probably for the next 20 years. And that would be the fastest change that we can have in decarbonizing our grid.
She's not the only fan of nuclear power. Drew Bond, former senior advisor to President George W. Bush at the Department of Energy and co-founder of C3 Solutions, doubled down on Meredith's idea.
I'd use that wand for fusion. You know, fusion is one of those technologies in the energy, you know, nuclear space that has always been 5 years away, and the joke is it always will. But you know, it every time I talk to a scientist lately, you know, it seems to be kind of back up on the priority list in terms of some breakthroughs that are happening. And so, you know, fusion, you know, is basically what the sun does, right? It's a fusion reactor. And so if we could design small fusion reactors that power, you know, large cities and countries, I mean, that would just be an incredible magic wand. So I'll take that.
Drew is right. We've been making small nuclear reactors for decades without much trouble at all. We put them in Navy submarines and in ships. It's something we don't think of very often, which reminds us that sometimes solutions are right in front of us. And that's another good point. The guest that offered up a solution I found to be breathtaking in its simplicity was Jigar Shah. This was one of my favorite episodes because Jigar, who leads the Department of Energy's Loan Office Program, which is a $40 billion fund, was expansive in his thinking. I was just about to ask him for the magic wand question, and then he got very specific on a single issue that's right in front of us.
I think the fact that we haven't been able to get the propane, natural gas industries, and the heat pump industries together to eliminate fuel oil seems to me like a lost opportunity. There really shouldn't be. I mean, you remember, you know, EDF negotiated a deal to bring in like number two diesel or whatever into buildings in New York City to move them away from something that was like dirtier. I thought that whole thing was crazy, right? Yeah. And so like, I think if we could find a way to actually eliminate fuel oil, which really does have direct implication to people's lives being shorter.
I remember responding to him by saying that I visit ports on the coast and see some places using fuel oil or diesel fuel that is essentially similar to cavemen burning wood. We have so many better alternatives for forklifts, port tractors, and even ships. And then Jigar reinforced the idea with more transportation-related insights.
The $17 billion that we have in the Advanced Technology Vehicle Manufacturing Program is for all technologies that significantly reduce carbon emissions in the vehicle space. So propane, as well as, you know, there's a company called Clear Flame that I think modifies diesel engines to be able to burn ethanol. All of these kinds of companies qualify. And so I think it's important for folks to realize that while electrification is interesting, because so many people can just charge at home, there's lots of other technologies as well that that are eligible for the money that we have and should be deployed as we, you know, continue to bring diverse solutions for American independence.
Does that idea of energy independence strike a chord for many of you? It certainly does for me, so I couldn't resist bringing some of Scott Tinker's conversation back into this episode. Have a listen to his thoughts on the same subject.
China controls 60% of the world's lithium, 70% of the world's cobalt. They're starting to grow in their nickel. They are controlling the minerals of the and rare earths of the future, which are batteries and copper. So we're moving from OPEC to China, if that makes you feel more secure when you're talking about moving from liquids for vehicles to batteries. It's just moving the fuel source to a different region who controls it.
It's not hard to believe that the path to zero has some hidden twists and turns in it. The whole idea of exchanging molecules for minerals and the attending geopolitical implications of that shift are enough to give anyone pause about exactly how we move forward. But we do have to move forward. How we do that is how I want to wrap up this special episode of Path to Zero. Several guests just made my day, and I bet those who Kara Buckley interviewed who were under the influence of hopium will agree. Here are three big thinkers that wave their magic wands really well. Dr. Will Burns from Northwestern University is first up.
I think probably the way I'd use my wand is that I would put a meaningful price on carbon, right? Yeah, you know, this is going to sound kind of wonky, but one of the things that we're looking at in the United States and most countries look at is something I referred to before, which is called the social cost of carbon, right? We try to calculate right. How much burning carbon costs society, right? In terms of human lives, you know, lost work days, lost agriculture production, heat deaths, all the things that are associated with climate change and burning carbon. In my mind, if you really priced that all out, right, and made sure that that was incorporated into the price of products, it would send the kind of market signals that would encourage innovation, right? And it would reduce the use of fossil fuels and drive more embrace of renewables and other kind of alternatives. And from my perspective, this isn't a liberal or conservative issue, right? In this country or any other country.
What you love about Will Burns is how he not only has a solution, but it's one that politically most people already agree on. And here's someone who agrees with Dr. Burns, the world famous, and that's no exaggeration. It took us nearly a year to get her on the show, the chief scientist of the Nature Conservancy and a preeminent climate scientist, Dr. Catherine Hayhoe.
If I could just wave a magic wand to put a single policy in place, I would put a price on carbon. Because we are already paying that price, but in a way that we can't currently see. And I think everybody deserves to be making appropriate financial decisions so that they're not sort of caught when something bites them from behind because we didn't realize that climate change was increasing the cost of our insurance or disasters or, you know, that we'd lose our crop insurance. So that's a, you know, a sort of a quasi-realistic magic wand, just getting it in play. The idea of pricing carbon is essentially a free market solution. Almost every economist in the world, including the two who won the Nobel Prize 2 years ago, supports and endorses it. There's a bipartisan climate solutions caucus in Congress and the Senate. made of half Democrats and half Republicans who agree on it. There's the Climate Leadership Council with a lot of major corporations whose names you'd recognize, like AT&T and a lot of even the big oil and gas companies who support pricing carbon. I'm from Canada, where there's a national price on carbon. And there's a lot of support from it, but we live in a society now where, again, we see compromise as weakness. We see the other side's loss as our gain. And so anything that people could possibly agree on across the aisle seems to immediately fall into that chasm that divides us, that is just getting wider and wider every day. And that's why, again, to circle right back, those conversations that each of us has is so important. Not arguing, not trying to convince people, not trying to change people, but just trying to say, look, we all have reasons to care on this. You care because of this, I care because of that. Hey, you know, we might even disagree on that, but let's come together on what we can agree on, because there's so much more we agree on than we disagree on. And if we could just work on what we agree on, we could get so much done.
That's a fantastic message, isn't it? So you see, Path to Zero listeners, we don't have to be doomers. The work you're doing, the work I get to be involved in with the propane industry, is as much a part of the solution to climate change as any other big idea, which is why I am so proud to be able to talk about it on the show from time to time. I know we need to wrap up, but I just can't leave out one of the best thoughts that our friend Jigar Shaw shared with us. This was a fantastic wave of a magic wand.
Well, I think that the way that we talk about climate continues to be in the vernacular of shared sacrifice, that we all need to have shared sacrifice to get to a more climate positive future. And I think in general, this is not shared sacrifice. This will be the largest wealth creation opportunity that human beings have ever seen. And that in general, it will improve the lives of everyone it touches, whether it's people who move to more energy efficient appliances, people who move to more, you know, climate friendly transportation, whether it's like all these other things. We already have all these things, but if I had a magic wand, I would move the entire conversation from shared sacrifice to the greatest, you know, wealth and job creating opportunity of our time.
Wow, that was a big finish. Thanks to all my past guests who made this everything but a doomer episode. You know, I'm taking away a lot of hope and optimism that we can, in fact, open up the path to zero and create possibilities that we never could have imagined. I hope you enjoyed this special Earth Day edition of Path to Zero. As always, I'd love to hear from you. If you want to send me a note to comment on an episode or just give us a new topic to consider, shoot us an email. The address is Path to Zero. That's Path, the word to, zero, path2zero@propane.com. I look forward to hearing from you. With that, a big thank you to everyone listening. See you next time on Path to Zero.
Thank you for listening to Path to Zero with Tucker Perkins. If you like what you've heard, subscribe and rate us your favorite podcast app. You can email us with questions or comments to path2zero@propane.com.